The Azure Digital Twins is now publicly available. Actually, it's in public preview. You can go and start playing with it. Lorena is back on the IoT show to show you a one-on-one of how to deploy a digital twin, how to configure one of the samples that we have available, and how to start playing with it. Hey everyone, this is Olivier, your host on the IoT show. We have Lorena with us today.
Hey.
So Lorena is back and to talk to us and show us a bit more about digital twins. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks. Yes, I'm happy to be back. So when I was here previously, I was just talking really briefly about these new spatial intelligence capabilities, but we weren't yet public. And so now we're in public preview as of October 15th, and we're really, really excited. So I'm going to run through the quick start tutorial that we have on the docs page.
Awesome.
So when you land on the docs page, you will probably land here. But you might want to go check out the Digital Twins overview. So there's a lot of good information about Digital Twins here. And there's even a link to a previous episode that my colleague Dan did that really gives a lot of context and highlights a lot of the key capabilities, you know, the spatial intelligence graph, role-based access control, multi-tenancy, nested tenancy, and custom compute with user-defined functions.
Yep.
But you might just want to go ahead and do like we're about to do and jump over to the 5-minute quick start.
Yeah. And that quick start is about, you know, your first hands-ons as a developer with the service, right? The service itself has tons of functionality. They're exposed as APIs.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're going to show is simple apps that use the basics of these APIs to do some stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly. So we walk you through even instance creation, which we'll go over here. Mm-hmm. And then we jump into the samples. So we have two samples. There's an occupancy sample that will set up essentially an imaginary building for us and set up a user-defined function as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a device connectivity sample, which essentially simulates a carbon dioxide sensor and sends some fake data that will then trigger that user-defined function.
Okay.
Cool. So when you come here, so disclaimer, you guys, even though we say this is a 5-minute quick start, depending on how many prerequisites you have or don't have, this might take you more than 5 minutes. But we do call out the prerequisites here. So you'll need an Azure account, and there's an option to create a free trial account if you don't have one. You'll need to install the .NET Core SDK.
Okay.
And if you already have it, you'll need to make sure that you'll have the latest version.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do .NET Restore, if you don't have the latest version, you'll get the warning there.
Okay. And so the reason why we're using .NET Core is because we are using .NET samples, right? But the APIs are REST APIs, so you can actually access these APIs from whatever language.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Whatever you want. And a lot of people just use a Postman client initially to get started. But we're taking you a step further with these samples. So then you would need to download the sample project, or you could head over here to GitHub and clone or download there.
Nice. Okay.
And then you would need to create a Digital Twins instance. So in the Azure portal, you would create a resource and then type in Digital Twins here, and you'll find us here in preview. Click Create. And then you'll go through your instance creation. So you'll select your instance name.
Okay.
It needs to be between 3 and 64 characters, no spaces.
Okay.
And then you'll select your resource group or create a new one, and then choose your location. Now we are in 4 Azure regions currently. We're in West US 2, East US, North Europe, and Australia East.
Okay.
So you grab one of those 4.
Makes sense. Can people actually, for the most advanced users of Azure, can they deploy or create an instance of Digital Twins using ARM templates?
Yes.
Okay.
You can use an ARM template. We do have that as an option. And there are some of our partners that are creating automation pipelines to do that for
them.
Okay. They're using a system identity to create that.
Okay. Awesome.
Cool. So it will take a little while to deploy your instance. So now would be the time to go refill your coffee cup or to go watch another IoT show episode. But once it's done provisioning, you'll see this pane here.
Okay.
So you'll have what's called your management API URL. Okay. And we give you a link directly to the Swagger docs.
Okay.
So this is the documentation for the APIs that you'll be using to really manage your Digital Twins instance.
Because as of right now, in the actual public preview state, the portal itself, the blade for Digital Twins doesn't have much.
Yeah.
But you have this Swagger APIs and all the docs for interacting with the service.
So although our blade is kind of bare, when you come over here, there's a lot of great information.
Okay.
So we go over the object models, you know, how to set up your spaces, devices, configure devices and sensors. These are also the APIs that you're going to be calling to configure role-based access control. Okay. So I do want to call that out because that's been a question already. Mm-hmm. You will call the management API to set up RBAC. You will not configure RBAC through the Azure portal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there is another feature that I do want to mention here with Swagger that I only recently found out about, so I want to be sure to highlight. So suppose we're looking at a particular call like Get Devices. Yep. If you click Try It Out over here on the right, then you'll actually get even more information available to you, such as the potential query parameters for includes.
Okay.
So I can do something like Get Devices includes sensors.
Oh, nice.
Sweet. So jumping back to the tutorial, we will need to modify this management API URL. Instead of slash Swagger, you'll need API slash v1.0.
Okay.
So this is going to be your, you know, your base URL.
Got it.
So you might want to have a document open and just be taking notes of these things as we go along, because mm-hmm. you'll need to enter them into the app settings for the occupancy sample.
Makes sense.
So next, we will be doing some things with Azure Active Directory to facilitate authentication. So in the portal, you'll need to find your directory ID. So the way you can do that here is you go to Azure Active Directory, then you click on Properties, and just take note of that directory ID GUID.
Mm-hmm.
Next, we'll open up app registrations, because we do need an Azure app registration in order to have the auth flow work.
Yep, it makes sense.
So you can make a new app registration, or you can reuse an existing one. Mm-hmm. Just make sure that the application type here is of type native. Then make a note of the app ID. And next, we'll have to grant some permissions so that this app can request tokens for the Digital Twins resource.
Makes sense.
So here, under required permissions, click Add. You'll type in Digital Twins. Select Delegated Permissions, Read-Write Access, and then finally click Grant. Now, depending on your company, you might not have the permissions to do this, depending on how your AAD mm-hmm. tenant is configured. Mm-hmm. So you might need to work with somebody at your company to do this for you.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, great. So after you've gathered all of those pieces, you're going to want to go ahead and open your app settings JSON for the occupancy sample and enter in these values. So your app ID, your directory ID, your management API base URL.
Okay. So this is all the elements that will allow your application to hook up to the right instance of Digital Twins.
Yeah, to be calling your backend.
Got
exactly.
It. Makes sense.
So then you can open up a command prompt. You want to go down into the occupancy quick start.
Okay.
And first thing we're going to do is restore packages.
Okay.
So run .NET restore.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have already done this, so it was very fast.
Yep.
And next, if we just do .NET run, we will see all of the possible examples.
Okay.
So the sample commands, the usage.
Okay.
So here we want to do provision sample.
Got it. So leveraging all the settings we put in the JSON file so that it can hook up to the right Digital Twins instance, authenticate, and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Exactly. So the first time you run provision sample, you're going to be prompted to log in. So you just quickly go through those steps, and then it will start provisioning your imaginary building. So what is this doing? Let's take a look. You can see here that we have a provision sample YAML file.
Mm-hmm.
This declares what we're going to provision. So it's setting up our building. So the format is pretty straightforward. You can see here that we are creating a root space, so our first node on the graph, named Quick Start Building of type Venue.
Okay.
Next, we have resources. So this resource is of type IoT Hub,
mm-hmm.
And it's going to be created for this space. Now, that's one of the reasons why also this might take a little while on the first time, because we are actually spinning up a new IoT Hub for this Digital Twins instance.
Makes sense.
Now, I do want to call out that currently we have the limitation that you can only create one resource of type IoT Hub per Digital Twins instance. So many of our partners are choosing to create that IoT Hub at the root node or near the top of their graph in order for all of the spaces below and those devices to take advantage of
Makes
it.
Makes sense. But that's a limitation of the public preview, right? When we're going to go into GA, we're going to actually allow to hook up
more than just one. Yeah, we're looking at all of that. And you could find all of those limits and throttling and threshold information on the documentation.
Okay. Perfect.
So then we have a floor, there's an area, and then a focus room, and the focus room has a device configured for it.
Okay.
You could see here the name and hardware ID, which is required. Mm-hmm. And then this device has two child sensors. We have motion and carbon dioxide.
Okay.
Next, I'm going to jump down here to show you our user-defined function. Okay. So this is the function that, you know, you would write and then post to Digital Twins mm-hmm. that would run your custom compute.
Okay.
So in this function, which we'll get to next, we're going to be setting some custom thresholds and setting some values on the space and sensors.
Okay.
Then we do need what is called a matcher to be declared. All right. So the matcher is essentially going to be the mechanism through which this UDF will be triggered. Mm-hmm. So if a matcher matches for a specific UDF ID and the data types,
So we have it's kind of the rules, right? It's like the equivalent of the query in a rule that you're defining exactly what's going to trigger, which conditions are going to trigger
the function. Yes, the conditions, exactly. Okay. So you need to set up specific conditions. Here we have data type value of motion as well as carbon dioxide.
Okay.
And then lastly, we create a role assignment. Now, the UDF will need its own role assignment in order to grant it permissions to run.
Okay. Makes sense.
Cool.
You don't want like rogue code to actually start doing things on your
Yeah,
right?
exactly. Yeah. And you can configure a very specific permission level by specifying the space for that UDF.
Oh, okay.
So if that UDF is only for a specific room in your graph, you would then grant it a role assignment only for that room.
Got it. So you can really like focus the execution on a specific area of your twin, of your of your building in that case.
Exactly. Right? It's very granular, and we always recommend people to follow the rule of least privilege.
Okay.
So that you're only granting resources or people access to allow them to do exactly just what they need to do and nothing more.
So the syntax of this YAML file is something that is described in docs, right? You're using VS Code to edit that because we have like tons of tools in VS Code to edit YAML.
Yeah.
I guess you still have to be cautious of the syntax when you're editing that file right now, right?
Yeah, exactly. So you can take it as is with the sample or feel free to go in and expand it, make a larger building and play around with multiple devices and sensors.
Nice.
So this has looked like it's finished running now. Mm-hmm. So when this finishes, you're going to see a connection string here that we'll then use for the device connectivity sample.
Because your definition of your space said, hey, there's going to be one device. So you have IoT Hub. So you created an IoT Hub. And you said, I have one device, which is that Raspberry Pi. So we created a device ID in that IoT Hub. And this is the identity you're seeing now, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. This is the device's own connection string for it to start sending data to the back end.
Okay. Makes sense.
So we're going to go ahead and copy that. Just grab from the H all the way down to the equals. And you're going to want to then go over to the next sample, device connectivity. Hopefully you're following along.
They are.
Open up the app settings file there. So go ahead and paste it in. And that's the only setting that you'll need to change for this app. So we have a second command prompt open for device connectivity. And this time we're just doing, oh, we also need to do .NET restore.
Yes.
That's our first time coming here.
Yeah, because that's first time playing with that sample. Mm-hmm. Well, it was not your first time, so it took milliseconds.
Good to go.
Well, it's just, it's a very simple sample, right? So basically, it's just going to bring the SDK, the device SDK.
Yeah, it just spins up a new instance of the device SDK, device client, and then we're just sending some random sample data for our sensors, which are currently motion and carbon dioxide.
Okay. So you described the device with the sensors in your digital twin.
Mm-hmm.
So that means your device code must actually abide by this model, right? It needs to send the data in the right format, which is JSON, name of the sensor, the value, and things like that, right?
Yeah, and you want to make sure, as you just mentioned, that you have pre-provisioned your twins in digital twins first.
Okay, makes sense.
Great, so we're sending some sample data here. So now if we go back over to the occupancy sample to kind of show a full flow, we have a function called get available and fresh spaces.
Okay. Okay.
So we don't just want available spaces, we also want them to be fresh.
Yes.
So we set a certain threshold for carbon dioxide, and we want it to be below that threshold for us to consider it fresh.
Okay, I like the definition of fresh.
So here if we run that, and Okay,
that's the name of the function. Cool.
Well, what's happening here is that we're just simply querying the spaces mm-hmm. and checking their space sensor values to see if the air quality.
Okay.
So we found here that focus room was available and fresh, but then the air quality came down.
Yeah, because of the random data the device is actually sending. Yeah, got it.
Exactly.
Okay. And so it's actually pinging regularly the twin, getting a response that actually changes based on the data that's changed from the device in real time.
Yeah, exactly, with the UDF firing mm-hmm. to set that value as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And the magic of that, you don't have to set up anything in terms of Azure Function or whatnot. Everything is part of digital twin as a service.
Yeah.
Where you have the definition of your building. Mm-hmm. And then, which is a graph, and then you have the function you worked on, the code for the device, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, right. So as much as possible, we're trying to model the real world and then ensure that people can get up and running with their solutions or their SaaS offerings mm-hmm. quickly.
Awesome. Well, that was cool. A great one-on-one. Thanks, Lorana.
Thank you.
I'm sure you're going to be back with samples, more advanced samples and demos, right?
Yeah, I will be back with more for you.
Awesome. Thanks for following the IoT show. Don't forget to subscribe. And thanks, Lorana. See you soon.
Bye.